Love for you to, if you have your Bibles or your devices, go ahead and open your Bibles to Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Go to that particular Psalm on your device, Psalm 133. This will be listed in your Bible as one of the Song of Ascents written by David. That as people were going to worship, an attitude that they would have and a truth that was spoken about specifically unity. Amen. You found it, Psalm 133. I'd love for you to look to the screen now, and let's read together. Let's read out loud together God's word in its entirety. This will be Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3. Let's begin with verse 1. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Father, we thank you for your Spirit who lives in us, that because of him we are able to live together in unity and in harmony. We thank you, O Father, that, Lord, it is because of you that we are one. We give praise, glory, and honor to your great name. We thank you, God, this morning for the privilege that you've given to us to be able to assemble together, to gather together, and to worship your holy and your righteous name. Thank you for giving us voices that we could lift up in praise and adoration of you as we sang your word, as we read your word, as we prayed your word. We thank you for the great privilege of worshiping you. And now, Father, as we proclaim your truth, will you anoint my tongue like the pen of a ready writer? God, I will speak, Lord, only your word, only your truth, only your message, God, for your people. Will you anoint, God, our ears that we can hear what your Spirit has to say? Now, Father, our hearts are ready to receive the seed of your word that produces life. We thank you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. We want to speak on this idea from Psalm 133, united or unified in Christ for the kingdom. Unified in Christ for the kingdom. Later on today, many of you will be like me, gathered around the TV, trying to see which one of the two teams will be able to emerge as the National Football League champion for the 25-26 football year. We'll be watching. Some of us have a team that we're pulling for. Others of us are grieving the fact that our teams are at home. You say some of them been at home for a while. At home, watching and having to wait for another year. She says some for many other years in the building process. We will see these teams battling, going at one another for the privilege of winning what we have come to know as, and is known worldwide, the Super Bowl. The team that is going to emerge as victor is going to be the team that works best together. They will have an offensive unit that is required to work together, a defensive unit that is required to work together, and they will have special teams that are required to work together. The team that is able to execute their plan with the fewest penalties will be the team that emerges victorious. Their goal is to be unified in the coach's game plan to execute their individual roles so that they experience victory. Well, brothers and sisters, you and I belong, we are part of a team that is bigger than any team that will be on that field today. You have placed your hope in the person of Jesus Christ, in his finished work, in the fact that he died and paid for your sins, that he rose or he was raised from the dead, and that he now resides in heaven. If you place your hope there, you have been made part of the church. Amen. There is no other way to become a member of the church, to become part of the church, except through the person of Jesus Christ. That you must accept and acknowledge his finished work, that it was because of what he did that you are able to be a member of his body. You are able to be called a child of God. If you don't claim Jesus, you are not a bona fide, redeemed, born again child of God. Amen. Okay, let me make it clear. Attending church doesn't mean that you are a child of God. You can show up, even though we just do it weekly, you can show up 365 days out of the year, come in, and if you never claim Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you will never ever be twice born again. The church only has born again members. You can only be born again when you acknowledge that, yes, I'm a sinner. And some of us have to add a little description. I'm a low down, dirty sinner. Amen. Amen. Let's be honest. And the wages of my sin is death, which means separation from God. That as long as I am covered in my sins, I can't get close to God. And so that's separation from God. So I have to acknowledge that I'm a sinner. And the wages of sin is death or separation from God. And the debt that I owe is too much. My account doesn't have enough in it. I don't have enough righteous deeds that I can do. I can't serve enough to bring my account balance to zero. I have to acknowledge that. And then to acknowledge that Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, whom God sent because he loved you and me so much, that Jesus Christ is the only one capable of taking care of the debt that has been racked up by my sin. I have to acknowledge that Jesus was perfect in all of his ways, that he came from heaven. Yes, he was born of a virgin, that he lived a perfect life, sinless, without sin, none whatsoever, that he then gave his life because they didn't take it. Here's the truth of the matter. When you begin to acknowledge Jesus as Lord, what you're saying is that's a bad brother. Amen. You can't take his life. He got to give it. No matter what size army you bring against him, it ain't big enough to defeat him. And so if he does not give his life, it won't happen. And so you're acknowledging that God sent his son, Jesus came, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, and at the right time he laid down his life, he gave his life for your sins and mine. And it wasn't just that he laid down and died. No, he was crucified. That when he gave his life, it was a public expression. He allowed them to take him and nail him to a cross, not in secret, but in public. And then he allowed them to propel or allow that cross to stand up so that all of Jerusalem and the surrounding area could see that this was real and it was happening. It was not private. It was public. So your confession of him, you can't keep it to yourself. Amen. So you're confessing that, yes, Jesus did all of this. He died a death that he did not deserve. And it was an ugly death. It wasn't pretty. Crucifixion was not pretty. It involves suffering on our behalf. Yeah. And if that wasn't enough, they beat him before they crucified him. So he was suffering for you and for me. But then, at the appointed time, he gave up the ghost. He gave up his life. Because he was also fulfilling God's prophecy that said that not one of his bones will be broken. In other words, who's in control? Jesus might be nailed to the cross, but who's in control? Oh, you and I need to get this in our spirit, because right now we're forgetting who's in control. Right now, we're seeing some stuff that's making us shake our head and making us wonder about these days that we live in. But you need to remember who's in control. Jesus was stretched out, but he was still in control. Hallelujah. That's why we walk by faith, not by sight. That's why we stand on the word of God and not on the word of men. It is the word of God that is eternal. It is the word of God that is powerful. It is the word of God that never ever returns to him empty or void. It is the word of God that breaks down bonds. And you and I need to learn how to stand on the word of God and not what we see with our eyes, not what's reported by some other individual, not what's posted on somebody's Instagram, not what's posted on Facebook. You better stand on the word of God. Because if you're going by what you see, you're going to be messed up. You ain't going to be able to sleep at night. You're going to be mad at folks. Misrepresenting the team that you own. So you and I stand on the word of God. Jesus was in control, and at the right time, he gave up his life because a command was coming that everybody that ain't dead by this time, let's break their legs. But because It had already been declared that no, none of his bones are going to be broken. When they got to Jesus, they discovered, oh, we don't need to do anything with him. He is already dead. So Jesus, in control, gives up his life and dies for you and me. They take him off of the cross and put him in a borrowed tomb. It was borrowed because Jesus had stated, I will rise on the third day. In other words, he says, it may look like we've been defeated. It may look like it's over, but it ain't over yet. Because on the third day, on the third day, on the third day, I'll get up with all power in my hand. Wait a minute, I'm just describing whose team we own. Woo-hoo! That's the team. That's the team that you and I belong to. We belong to the one who is in control. We belong to the one who is all powerful. We belong to the one who defeated death, hell, and the grave. We belong to the one who has all power in his hand. Brothers and sisters, he says that when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, he says, welcome to the team. Hallelujah. Man, I should have worn my shirt today. Welcome to the team. See, the teams that we will watch on this evening, they will be distinguished how they will have their uniforms. You'll be able to tell the Seattle Seahawks from the New England Patriots based upon the uniforms that they wear. Amen. Brothers and sisters, there ought to be the uniform that you wear that people can tell what team you're on. Amen. One of the characteristics of your uniform that you wear, it's going to have unity in it. It's going to have love in it. But one of those characteristics of that uniform is going to be that you are in Christ. Amen. Galatians chapter 3 talks about this, that every person, every man, woman, boy, girl who is in Christ has been clothed with Christ. Yes, you've been clothed with Christ. Hallelujah. So that means that you've got to represent your team well. And the clothing of Christ is not like the physical clothing. It's not like the uniform that we will see those individuals dressed in today. Our clothing looks different. It means that you have been, first of all, get this, you've been baptized, filled with the Spirit of God. Ooh. Amen. Amen. You've been dipped in the Spirit of God. You've been saturated in the Spirit. See, I need to remind some of y'all that it's something different about you. And the difference about you is your faith in Jesus Christ and the sealing of God's Spirit on your life. The reason that you are able to put up with some stuff, the reason that you are able to maintain a loving spirit and attitude is because of the Spirit of God who dwells in you. It ain't you. I know you think you're just a loving person. Come on, man. Y'all know the truth. We had, what was it, it was last month, I think, we had a brother come forward and he said, I just need to be prayed for because I ain't as loving as I need to be. Truth of the matter is, when we heard him say that, all of us should have been like coming to the altar. Well, you ain't by yourself. All right? Because we ain't either. And we need the help of God's Spirit. Here's the truth of the matter. You cannot wear the clothing of Jesus Christ and represent him without his Spirit at work in you. And anytime you and I get to thinking that it's just us, I'm just a good person. You setting yourself up to be whipped upside the head. Because there's a realization that truth needs to come and confront you, and you need to realize that you're not as good as you thought you were. And there are going to be some circumstances that come your way that reveal that you ain't all that you thought you were, and you were not where you thought you were, and you can't do anything that you thought you could do without the help of God's Spirit working in you. And anytime, and this is what I love about God, anytime we start slipping into that place of where we are independent of God's Spirit, he comes and says, whoa, wait a minute. I love you too much to let you get too far gone. I ain't going to let you mess up a program by acting the way you acting. So he'll reel us back in by giving us some revelation, some truth that helps us understand that no, if it were not for the Spirit of God, that would be me acting free. If it were not for the Spirit of God, that would be me gossiping. If it were not for the Spirit of God, that would be me using my mouth in a manner that is not pleasing and honoring to God. If it was not for the Spirit of God, that would be me not forgiving those who have offended me. But because the Spirit of God lives in me, I then am able to walk in such a way that it becomes evident whose team I'm on. I belong to the Lord. I belong to the Lord. And if you and I are going to make advancements for the kingdom of God, if you and I are going to experience victory in the kingdom of God, you and I need to walk in unity with Christ for the kingdom of God. Amen. I love this psalm that we've read. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is an expression, first of all, about how God feels about unity. He says how good and pleasant it is that God enjoys when you and I are living together in unity, on one accord, working consistently together for his kingdom and for his glory, doing the part that he has called us to do for the kingdom. That when he sees that happen, us working hand in hand, it's good and pleasant, and it pleases God's heart. You and I need to understand that unity means that I'm carrying out my role for the kingdom, making him first, his purposes first, and not my own agenda. Amen. We talked about how the team that wins today is going to be the team that works together in unity, whether it's their offensive unit, whether it's their defensive unit, whether it's their special teams, those that work together in unity will experience the victory. Each one of those 11 players on the field at that time will have a different role that they are to fulfill. But each one of them has to carry out their individual roles working together in order to achieve the desired purpose. Amen? So unity is you and me working together in our individual roles, carrying out God's will for us to achieve his desired purpose. What's God's purpose? To make disciples of all nations. What's God's purpose? To be glorified in the earth. What's God's purpose? To have you transformed so that you are conformed to the image of Christ, so that you look like Jesus. So that you act like Jesus. So that you talk like Jesus. So that you execute the kind of authority that Jesus gave you. So that you tear down some walls. And so that you step on the head of the devil so that you can do your part wherever he puts you. Hallelujah. Whatever your role is. Hallelujah. If it's a mama right now, you better be a Holy Ghost-filled good mama. Seeking to raise those babies in the fear and admonition of the Lord so that God is glorified. If you're a daddy, you better be a Holy Ghost-filled good daddy. Seeking to model in front of your children what a good, good father looks like so that when they're looking at God and talking about God as a father, they won't be all toe up. Afraid to use the name father in reference to God because you have not done your role. No, you need to be a Holy Ghost filled good daddy teaching those children how to love on their mama, teaching those children how to love on God, teaching those children how to pray and how to apply the word of God to their situations so that they are walking in wisdom, teaching them how to lean on God and trust him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. Why? Because in all thy ways, he will direct your path. Hallelujah. Amen. So you and I have to be filled with God's Spirit so that we can walk in obedience to God's word to carry out his mission for the kingdom. Jesus said this, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. It is God's desire that you and I have what? Life. He wants us to have it abundantly. And in order for you then, you and me, to experience God's best for our lives, we've got to be walking first in unity with Christ. We have to be unified with Christ, and we've got to have a kingdom first mentality. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then he said, all that other stuff that the pagans, the people of this world are chasing after, I will take care of for you. He says that when you are working your job, I won't make sure that you have holes in your pocket. You'll have enough to take care of your needs. Glory to God. You and I have to be walking unified with Christ. With a kingdom agenda. God first. God first. I seek to glorify God first. I make him first so that everything else becomes subservient in my life. Trust him enough to let him do that. He says that when you and I are united with him and then united with one another, it becomes good and pleasant. Not only before God, but among us, it's a good and pleasant thing. When you look at verse 2 of this same psalm, it says, it is like precious oil that is poured on the head and running down on the beard. Running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. I hope you're seeing this picture of precious oil being poured upon an individual. And so much so that it's not just a little drip, but it's so much so that it is running down. You see it? It's running down on the beard because God has not limited
the pouring of the oil, that he is letting it flow freely. And as it does, it is running down and saturating both the beard and running down the collar of his robe. He's talking about your unity and how good and pleasant that is before God when we are hooked up, unified with Jesus Christ and with one another. So he wants us then to be unified so that God's blessing can rain down upon us. I wish, just pray right now. Just doing, say, God, help him be able to articulate what your spirit wants to communicate with us about how you want to bless us. Because God, I've lost the mindset of what it means to truly be blessed like you. Because God, I've gotten so caught up with not having enough and trying to make ends meet. I forget that you want to bless me abundantly. But God is saying, if you will be unified with Christ and with one another, he said that the blessings that he pour upon us will be like precious oil being poured upon the head, that you're going to be overflowing, that you're going to need a saucer to catch it. Yeah. You're going to have so much that you're going to need somewhere for the overflow to go. Am I the only one? Am I the only one that wants some blessing like that? Listen, I don't know about you, but I got a list of what I am going to do when I start having such an excess in my funds that I can bless other folk. I got a list. Oh, yeah. You ought to be saying, I hope I'm on your list, Pastor. Can I tell you that you are? You are on my list because you are near and dear to my heart. You are my family. There are some folks that I know got some struggles right now that if I had it, I'd be taking care of some stuff so that they could be set free. And I would probably do it in secret. And the reason I would do it is in secret is because all the glory needs to go where? To the Lord. Because I don't need you to start thinking that I'm your Savior. I don't need you to start thinking that I roll like that. I don't need you to start thinking that when you got a problem, let me call Pastor. No, you better call God. He just happened to use your pastor to bless your life. But I'm maintaining a list such that when the surplus comes, I won't have to ask what to do. I'm maintaining a list and I'm praying over the list because I pray with expectation. When I hear about a struggle, when I hear about a problem that you're going through, I don't just put it in the background. No, I put it on the list. And I start talking to God. Why? Because he says, I will supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And so I start talking to the one who has the cattle on 1,000 hills, who has resources that you and I know nothing about, who has connections and can open doors and can move in ways that I didn't even conceive, who can open doors and make a way out of no way. I start talking to him because I have an expectation that when we cry out unto the Lord with a sincere heart, God shows up. And sometimes God shows up and he bypasses me. Yeah. He bypasses me because I'll be talking to somebody and they'll be telling me about the blessing that they just received. And I'm sitting there getting my shout on because I know what I've been praying about. Oh, I wanted to be the vehicle that God wanted to use if that were the case, but it don't matter to me how God does it. All I'm looking for is God to do it. So I'm maintaining a list. Then when I discover that God has met your need, I go and I put a praise on it. Because it came from him no matter what the resource. Oh, brothers and sisters, this visual says to you and me, open up your mind. Take your lid or your box from around God. Remove your limitations of what God can do and how he can do it. And let God be God in your life and in your circumstance. Let God show up and do for you what he desires to do to give you life and life abundantly. Remove the barriers that get in the way of you believing that God is able to move mountains. Remove the barriers that lock God into you and into operating a specific way in your life, and let God be God. The word says that he can do above and beyond all that we could ever ask, think, or imagine according to his power that is at work. That means you ain't got enough imagination. And don't you dare limit God by your imagination. Let him be free. Lay it before him and let him take care of it the way that he wants to take care of it through whatever resource he chooses to use. He wants to bless us. He wants to rain down on us. What he needs us to do is change the way we think. Change the way we think. Expand, allow the word of God to help us have fresh vision about what it means to be victorious in the kingdom of God. Present yourself to him as a living sacrifice that says, God, I belong to you, and you are free to use me whatever way you choose to use me for your glory. This idea is continued in verse 3, where it says, it is as if the dew of Hermon falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. At the end of the psalm, it's all about God's blessing on your life. It's all about God being glorified through your life. It's all about God using you to progress his kingdom in this world. It's all about you acknowledging which team that you are on and then walking and carrying out the plan of the master. That's really what it's all about. You remember Psalm 23, don't you? Some of you guys know that by heart. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, that's the team I'm on, right? The Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not what? Be in want. He makes me, look at y'all, lie down in green pastures. That's called resting. That's called being at peace. That's called blessing forevermore. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He leads me beside, what kind of waters? Still waters. Wow, them waters ain't disturbed. They still, they quiet. I can drink from them and satisfy my thirst. Glory to God. He restores my soul. This is what blessing looks like in the kingdom of God. Being led by a shepherd who has all of your provisions taken care of. He is giving you a place where you can rest. And he leads you in paths of righteousness. Oh, ain't got there yet, right? He guides you in paths of righteousness. For whose sake? For his name's sake. See, it's all about God. When he's reaching out and blessing your life, it's all about him. And your job and my job is to celebrate the bigness of who God is because of what he is doing on our behalf. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For God is with me, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. See, when we're on the right team, we ain't got to worry about it, right? He got it taken care of. And then it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. There it is, ain't it? There it is. It gets even better. My cup, what? Overflows. That's that image. It overflows. Now watch this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. How long? All the days of my life. So it's not just a temporary thing. Now he's with you and he is walking with you until the end. I like that. He's taking care of you. Even in difficult moments, he's with you. Oh, this is a good word. I'm getting excited about this because you know how it is. We think blessing, we equate blessing in the presence of God with it being trouble free. No. Remember, our God is still in control, even in the midst of trouble. Remember that while you're going through it, God is still in control. So whether you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, whether or not something has attacked your body and is making you think, oh my goodness, what's going on? He is with you. And as long as God is with you, can I tell you, you're on the winning side. Listen. If he is with you, he's going to make sure that you make it through to the other side. And so when you and I are on his team, God has promised that he will take care of us. And he helps us to understand that this is the greatest blessing that we could ever have. And it's really to be on his team. Don't get caught up in all the stuff that you might get or receive. Here's the blessing, is to be on his team. Why? Because when you're on his team, what do coaches do at halftime? They take the team into the locker room. The press may stop them on the way to get a comment, but the team gets the coach's full attention. When you're on God's team, he gives you his full attention. When you're in the middle of a fight, oh, come on now, you need to give God thanks for having a halftime in your fight. You need to give God thanks that he allows you to take a break in the middle of your fight so that you can be recouped and so that he can give you the advice and wisdom that you need so that he can rearrange your plan so that when you go out and at the end of the quarter, at the end of the game, you will be victorious. Why? Because he is with you, he has coached you, and he won't leave you standing by yourself. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he calls for you and me to first be unified in Christ, then to have kingdom focus, kingdom agenda. So he has determined at the end of the day, you win. At the end of the day, you are more than an overcomer. You, at the end of the day, you win. Because you are on his team, dressed in his armor, with his outfit on, you win. All you've got to do is carry out your role. And can I just tell you, he'll take care of the rest. When he look at you, just make sure that you are able to be identified as one of his team members. That you are dressed and clothed in Christ. That you have on your breastplate of righteousness. Listen, you and I, we win. So it doesn't matter what fight you're in right now. Doesn't matter what the score may be in your mind right now. What you need to know is that when it's all said and done, the one who loves you, the one who recruited you, the one who created a lucrative contract for you, the one who set up the terms and conditions that would not allow you to be traded out even when you underperform, the one who saw you in your emptiness and said, I still have value for you, the one who loves you enough that he laid down his life for you, says that he will give you victory. Hallelujah. You win. You win. And so now, how do I unite myself with Christ? Jesus said these words in John 17 as he was praying for the church. He said, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. So that the world may believe that you have sent me and I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. So in order for you and me to experience the blessing that God describes in Psalm 133, the blessing that God describes in Psalm 23, the blessing that God describes in John 10:10. He talks about he wants to bless our lives. We have to be united with Christ. That means that you and I have to line up with God's word. That when you open up your mouth, and you're in the fight, your declaration must be in agreement with what he has said. Amen. You line up with Christ, not by arguing with him. You unite with Christ, not by arguing with him, but by agreeing with what he has said and then walking in obedience to his instructions. If you would do that consistently, not wavering, not going back and forth, but consistently stand on his word, you will walk in unity with Christ. And when you are with him, he will equip you and deliver you through every storm. And bring you to the place where he has appointed you to be, so that he will be glorified. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we thank you for first being united with Christ through our confession of faith in him. We thank you, Father, that, Lord, you changed us from our old raggedy clothing
you put on us garments of righteousness. We thank you, Father, that you washed us, that you cleansed us by his blood, that he claimed ownership of our lives, that he took responsibility for our well-being. Father, as we stand before you today, as we are bowed, God, Lord, in our hearts before you today, we want to walk in full and complete unity with you and with one another. Lord God, we want the purposes of your kingdom to become, Lord, the thing in which we pursue. We want, God, our lives to be a reflection, God, of your mercy and grace that has been poured upon us, and the gratitude that, God, we have for the redemption, you buying us back. So, Father, we pray today that, God, by your Spirit, you would help us to see and realize the truth of where we are, and then to accept your invitation to come closer. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his redeeming work. Thank you for his mercy and his grace. Thank you for allowing us to be members of his team, to be a part of his body, to be the agents that carry out his work upon the earth. Unify us with your will. Unify us, God, by your Spirit, with your purposes, so that, God, your kingdom can continue to destroy and demolish strongholds that keep men and women bound and away from you. Empower us today in the name of Jesus by your Spirit. All of God's people said, amen.